Star has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke weed every day. Pick up a copy around Vancouver or fuck with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
The world is a better place because of Kim Kardashian's empire,
Cheetos,
fleece material,
and Discorder.
It's a local independent music magazine from CITR.
Which means that we can print whatever we heckin' want.
Album and live show reviews, interviews with artists, and sweet illustrations grace our pages.
And even you, listener, can contribute.
Just visit citr.ca/discorder/contribute.
You can grab it around town or read it at discorder.ca.
Forever local and forever free.
Below Brown and Goodwin that we talked about.
Difference. Most of these rap niggas sounding like bitches. I need that dead money to handle my business. And fuck, I don't care money. Don't ask for forgiveness. But I want some commas. Might double my digits. Yeah. Too many women might fuck up the vision. Yeah. I know some real ones. I pray they don't hear this. Ain't got a conscience. See through the mirrors. Yeah. Say I'm in my bag. Know that I got it. Yeah. Know that they watch it. Told me she want it, yeah. Say I'm in my bag. No, I got problems. Yeah. Fuck with the optics. Yeah. Tell me I'm poppin', yeah. Say I'm in my bag. I'm in my bag, I'm in my bag, I'm in my, yeah. I'm in that bag, I'm in that bag, I'm in my, yeah. I'm in my bag, I'm in my bag, I'm in my, yeah. I'm in that bag, I'm in that bag, yeah.
I need that pretty little thing to come through. Tell me that I'm cocky and I said it's nothing new. Niggas gon' talk just to change your point of view. That don't mean shit when all they looking at is you.
They just look to you.
They saying they hot, don't quit your day job. Everybody talking fire, my style is napalm. Had to tell them I'm on, they tell me I'm wrong. How a nigga talking shit, I got this bitch on my phone. Lil mama trying to talk, but I just can't stay long. I'm that nigga she want, but I'm just trying to kill the farm. I'm a bad motherfucker, all these niggas lukewarm. Fuck these discount rappers, all they flows is coupons. Backstroke, new phone, couple shorties too on. C4 when I'm poppin', cause the pussy too bomb. I'm the light skin lord, a couple flaws, and I'm a menace. I go at they whole squad, because they best is my apprentice.
Say I'm in my bag. Know that I got it. Know that they watch it. Told me she want it. Yeah, say I'm in my bag. Know I got problems. Fuck with the optics. Tell me I'm popping. Yeah, say I'm in my bag. I'm in my bag. I'm in my bag. I'm in my. Yeah. I'm in that bag. I'm in that bag. I'm in my. Yeah. I'm in my bag. I'm in my bag. I'm in my. Yeah. I'm in that bag. I'm in that bag. Yeah.
Good morning. You tuned in to Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR. This is the only radio station that matters. I mean, that's not true. But you are tuned in. It is September 12th, Thursday. We do this every week, 7 to 8. And I'm your host, Issa Arian. We are broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam and Tsleil-Waututh territories of the Coast Salish people here live from Pacific Spirit Park. I cannot speak this morning. Jesus Christ. Pacific Spirit Park. And we do this every week. I am struggling today. I don't know what it is. It might be when I wake up in the morning, it's still dark. I don't know about how that affects you guys, but me, it brings me great sadness. As the days get shorter, you know, it just, while you know that it happens because it happens every year, it doesn't make it feel any better. You know, it's very interesting because while, I guess from like October, November to May, you know, like every day, you're just like, even though the days are getting longer after December, it's just like, man, this sucks. This rain, this clouds, it's terrible. And then the summer, you totally forget just how different the weather is. Like in this, because the summer is so bright in the morning, bright at night, it's beautiful, it's sunny, it's warm, it's dry. Particularly this summer, it was dry, and we didn't even have to be distracted by too many fires this year. It was just nice. And then fall starts to creep up, and then you start to see, you know, some PSLs. I think that's what they're called. I don't know. Pumpkin spice lots. Yeah, PSLs. You know, and then you start to see, you know, the vests come out, and then you're like, oh, shit, it's here. It's fall. I mean, I do love football season. However, I love summer more. Anyways, we do this every week here on Off the Beaten Path. What we like to do here is introduce you. If you've never listened to the show before, we talk a little bit about some local news, what's going on here in Vancouver, then what's going on here in BC, what's going on in Canada. Like, just think of it as like a reverse telescope. You know, we just go wider and wider until we get to North America and in the world. And then sometimes we're talking about intergalactic space things. Never that. But we talk about some just exactly what you need to know as you go into the weekend. The weather, you know, maybe some things that are going on in the weekend that you should probably check out just to keep you really, really informed, whether you're at work right now, or you're getting ready for work, or you're getting ready to drop your parasite off at school, then, you know, it's just, you're here with me for the next hour. And it's great because we have a lot to get through today. One of the things that always happens here, it seemingly happens more and more, more frequently, as the computer goes out. So if you guys never seen a radio station, or you don't know what it looks like, so there's the boards, and then there's a computer. And the computer controls, like, everything else that you can do besides speaking to the microphone. And ours is often not working, particularly, especially when I'm here in the morning, because it's just me by myself. I like it, though. So now you're going to hear, like, it's just raw, just me and you. Me and you and whoever else listen, you know. And that's what I like to think about this show, Off the Beaten Path. It's just me, some of my friends, like, sitting on my couch and hearing me talk to them for an hour. So, welcome. I got a lot of shit I want to talk about today. There's a lot of stuff going on. A lot of interesting things. I feel like a lot of things that people living in Vancouver, you might have some opinions on. And so, if you do, you can call in at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR if you have trouble with numbers. So, before we get into, like, anything that's going on here, I feel like it's most important that we reflect, what's it going to feel like? You know, and what does it feel like? We're talking about the weather. And so, if you listened to the show last week, and let's say you didn't have time to listen to it, like, on the day of, you're not missing out on anything because it's the exact same forecast. Rain. It's supposed to be really, really wet today. 100% chance of precipitation. So get your umbrellas out. And if you haven't gotten your umbrella, just go to any bar and tell them that you forgot yours there the last day. And I promise you, any restaurant will just give you some random umbrella. So that's a life hack. Go to the club, bar, pub, tell them you lost your umbrella. Say it was black. Chances are it's there. Rain today, rain tomorrow, rain Saturday, scattered thunderstorm Sunday, rain Monday, rain Tuesday, rain Wednesday, next Thursday, Friday, Saturday, no rain as of right now, and up to 21 degrees. So if it still is nice a week from now, now we know that the forecast is never accurate a week out. However, if it's still nice a week from now, you should be able to get outside and do something fun. I still haven't gone to those sunflower fields to take that perfect Instagram picture, and I hope they're still there because I need some content, you know what I mean? Like, everybody always needs some, you know? It makes you feel good about yourself. I totally understand why people do it. It doesn't make it any better. However, you got to know that it's just that time. So start wearing your rain jacket everywhere you go, or bringing an umbrella. What I need to do is I need to make sure, I need to like weather my bike this year. If you have any tips about how to do that, you can drop them to me. And then I can relay them out, you know, to all three people listening to the show. Listen, this is great. Very efficient way to spread information. No, I need to weather my bike. It's like something that I've been meaning to do. Is just put those fenders on your bike so that you can ride it in the rain. Like I really enjoy riding my bike. And I always feel that once it starts raining, I can't do it. But that's only because of the limitations that I've set on myself. And sometimes those self-limitations are harder to break than, you know, outside ones. So if you're in the same position, hey, you know what? Just get up and just go do it. I don't know what it is that you need to do, but you probably should check it out because you know you can. Before we get into some of the things that I feel like should be very, very important to British Columbians and particularly people in the Lower Mainland, we should stay on these bikes. So if you aren't from here, or you just moved here, or you just like listening to news about Vancouver, listen, this one will interest you. Because in Vancouver, there are a few things that we talk about very frequently. One of those things is drugs. Homelessness, weed, not so much anymore, but I got a crazy weed story for you today. Housing, homelessness, drugs, weed. Those are the things that come to hit. And now, bike theft. And so, if you hadn't heard, 100... Like, you know that bike theft is a problem here. It's not like secret or it's hidden. But anyways, there were 148 bikes stolen. Stolen bikes were found in an east side storage locker. And so they said they estimated up to like $100,000 in value, which is not hard to think about. It's not hard to get up to $100,000, particularly when there's scooters stolen, there's e-bikes, and then just a lot of other mountain bikes. There's a lot of other bikes. So, one, things to think about, that bike, you know, whenever they have the police auction, when they sell all the stolen goods, you probably have a good chance of getting your bike back if they stole it. If your bike was stolen, it's a good chance it's in one of those lockers. And two, I got a lot of questions. One, how do you fit 148 stolen bikes in a storage locker without anybody really noticing that you're stealing, that you put 148 bikes in there? Like, I feel that if you were bringing bikes to the storage locker, but also never taking bikes out of the storage locker, it's pretty obvious those bikes are being stolen. Also, one of the things is that the officers found the locker because they were investigating an unrelated case. Wait a minute. This storage locker is right next to my job. This is very interesting because bikes get stolen out in front of my job all the time. I wonder if there are many bikes in there. Maybe I should do some investigating myself. Anyways, they were looking for an unrelated case, and then they came up on this storage locker that has all of these stolen bikes in it. And they arrested three men from Vancouver and one man from Surrey related to this bike seizure, and then released them without charges. It is very interesting how they just let them go, because either they're snitching or the Vancouver police just doesn't really give a shit and they decide to let them go. I kind of feel like $100,000 in stolen bikes should be enough to charge four people. I mean, you could charge four people. I don't know how the felonies work in Canada, but in the United States, that's four felonies because it only needs $1,000 in stolen goods to be a felony. So that's 25 times if you divide the 100 by four. So they could be each be charged 25 felonies if this was the United States, but it's Canada. So they just let them go free without charges. Just like, hey, thanks for giving us the bikes back. And they just keep it moving. I've had a bike stolen from here, but I doubt my bike is over there. And that was a few years ago. My bike's probably chopped up. It's over with. Another thing that's going on in the downtown east side is we talked about this earlier in the year, this idea that there's a UBC professor, Dr. Mark Tidnell, who says that installing vending machines with really, really cheap opioids is really going to help change the way that addicts have access to drugs. And so what that does is maybe changes the market and what people and the type of harm that people do to themselves so that they can try to, self-medicate. And so that was a few months ago where we talked about that and talked about the possibilities of that happening. And what we have seen is it has been put into action. So a machine that has been created in Toronto scans the patient's hand for identification before dispensing a pre-programmed number of hydromorphone pills that are a substitute for heroin. And so, actually, this is very interesting because it kind of relates to a project that I was doing at work where I was looking at what are the possibilities of the future. And so, one of the things that I feel people are either leaning away from or leaning into is new technologies, particularly technologies that can identify you as an individual. I remember, so I just recently got an iPhone XR. And so if you know anything about the iPhones, it doesn't have a home button anymore. So after the 8, they don't have a home button. And I remember when I first bought my 8, it was something that really made me nervous, the idea of putting, this facial recognition on my phone and using it. And so, even knowing in my heart that my facial recognition, data is already been captured. But for some reason, you just feel like I don't want to opt in. I don't know. Maybe you don't. Maybe you lean in. But learning about all of the different types of ways that they can identify you. So like from the veins in your hand, like from beyond fingerprints to vascular identification with your hand, and it's very interesting. And that is thought to be of the future, but it's actually here right now. Anyways, back to the point. So the pills are cheap, and so they're going to cost about 35 cents. And to keep the cost low, keeping the cost low is important, because so that when you know, addicts have access to clean, clean, cheap alternatives to heroin, one, we should be able to see overdoses go down, and two, you should be able to then start to address maybe the more roots of the problem rather than be continuing to deal with just symptoms. So it'll be an interesting approach, because while, like, whatever drug policy that we have, not just even in this city or in this country or in the world, it's just not working, because we continue to see a rise in the opioid epidemic. So it is, for me, I always think it's interesting to see alternative approaches and see how it works, because obviously there are people who believe that providing cheap heroin to heroin addicts is a bad idea, and I can understand why people would think that it's a bad idea. But oftentimes the people who are just saying these things are a bad idea have no idea what addicts and people who are suffering from those condition needs. It is particularly interesting how people talk a lot about things that they have no, they know nothing about. And so even if you know a little bit about, I'm like, I don't really trust doctors all the time, but I feel like this person, I feel like you don't just suggest giving away free, free cheap heroin without having a good idea. So it'll be interesting. And I'll most likely give you an update about how it's going, because I'm interested in reading up on it myself. When we get back, we are going to talk a little bit about what you can do to help save the bees here in Vancouver, because they will be struggling soon. It's kind of sad, but we'll be back soon.
Que lo pensaba y tú que te lo imaginabas. Tuve un sueño anoche donde en tu cuarto te daba. Dime todas las cosas que le decías a tu almohada. Devorando la diosa, a ver si quizás se daba así. Y hoy me respondiste, tan pronto escribí. ¿Y quién iba a saber que hoy estás aquí? Al frente de mí, baby, ahora sí.
Al fin el momento se nos dio. No te imaginas, mami, lo que yo te haré. Agarra mi mano y caminemos los dos. Hasta la cama, mami, yo te llevaré.
Y al fin el momento se nos dio. No te imaginas, mami, lo que yo te haré. Agarra mi mano y caminemos los dos. Hacia la cama, mami, yo te llevaré.
Al fin el momento se nos dio.
Al fin se nos dio, yo estaba esperando el momento. Pregúntale a Dios pa' cuidarte, yo tengo una globa. Pa' coger tu novia y la movie, ponerle en esto que tú quieres y nos vamos los dos. Donde estemos solos y te lo quites todo, si lo saco pa' afuera es pa' darte con todo. Que tú eres bien puta, tu amiga ya me lo contó.
Ya sé que te gustan todas las pendejas, y que eres bien bella, que aunque a veces te hace. Y que no te enamoras por más que te abracen. Si te hablan de amor, dices cambia la frase. Lo que vaya a pasar, pues que pasa. Un fuletazo pa' todo el que se propase. Dale, entrégate a mí pa' ver cómo lo hace. Al fin el momento se nos dio.
Ella se puso el baby dolly de la 602. Unas pocas consiguió y por directo me escribió. Ella solo vino y se le hundió. Y tiene tacos Christian Louboutin y gafas Christian Dior. Quiere que se lo dé a capela. Yo la tenía en lista de espera. Ahora es cuando ella quiera. Bajamos bellaquera. Yo me hago el que no le echo nada. Pero si ellos supieran, quiso que le escupieran después que lo sintieran. Estaba desesperada y
al fin el momento se nos dio. No te imaginas, mami, lo que yo te haré. Agarra mi mano y caminemos los dos. Hasta la cama, mami, yo te llevaré.
Y al fin el momento se nos dio. No te imaginas, mami, lo que yo te haré. Agarra mi mano y caminemos los dos. Hacia la cama, mami, yo te llevaré.
Al
fin el momento se notió. Se notió. Y júralo por Dios, dijiste que te echara uno, pero ahora quieres dos. Te lo pasé y te pateó, y a tu amiga te choteó. Y déjale saber después esta gente quién te dio
la presión.
Tú y yo en Adi, tú eres Kylie y yo Travis. Quiero partirte como se parte en la pali. Terminamos en mi cuarto y eso que no estaba puesto para mí. Teco y corté.
Yo soy la cura para tu dolor. Chinga conmigo y no tengas temor. Pa' que sufrí por amor. Todo en la vida cambia de color. Fuma conmigo y sube de nivel. Pasan los años y cogemos poder. Cuando te azote, bebé, te va a envolver. Y ponte en cuatro en la cama y sacate un selfie. Modélame en Opan que te besé, sí. Trépate arriba con tu bella que era mativa. Eres una diva.
Al fin el momento se notió. No te imaginas, mami, lo que yo te haré. Agarra mi mano, encaminemos los dos. Hasta la cama, mami, yo te llevaré. Y al fin el momento se notió. No te imaginas, mami, lo que yo te haré. Agarra mi mano, encaminemos los dos. Hacia la cama, mami, yo te llevaré.
You're back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR's Vancouver's radio station. If you would like to call in, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. So I was looking through my Twitter during the musical break. And I almost forgot that yesterday was September 11th. And September 11th is like a very, I feel like it's very interesting. It's like when you get like so many fake patriots on the internet, you know. But I say fake patriots, like they would never call themselves a fake patriot. It's like perspective. Right, so there's this Bobby Carpenter. He was a famous football player in Ohio, and now he's like on the radio. And so he talked about something his kid said. His kid said is how America is the land of free and home brave. That's why the Freedom Tower is called the Freedom Tower. And I wish people would teach their kids to be like. I don't have any kids, and like, you know, maybe I will, maybe I won't. It's, who knows, you know? But I wish people who did have kids would teach them to think more critically and not just buy into some blind propaganda. However, it's just interesting because when we talk about particularly, you know, 9/11, when I say we, I mean like Americans like me or Americans in general. You know, we've really focused on the 3,000 people who died in the towers. And obviously when those people woke up for work that day, it was nothing that they could have predicted. They just no way that they could have predicted that their day was going to go like that. But when we talk about like the 18 years since 9/11, the United States focuses on, you know, the country coming together, building a Freedom Tower. And so done research on what that looks like, particularly after, you know, a disaster, and how the time immediately following, there is that period of coming together. But then, you know, it totally ignores the, I guess the narrative totally ignores, you know, within the 18 years, the amount of vitriol and hate that has risen, particularly towards, you know, Muslim Americans who are also Americans. And so we see that not just it hasn't gone away, but it's particularly increasing and coming from, you know, where we were like a very optimistic and hopeful, you know, from 2008 to 2016. I don't even think about, like, I guess maybe when I think about Barack Obama, like, I don't even, like, we were very hopeful during that time period, not simply because You know, we had a black president. Me, I was very always thought of it more of like his name is Barack Obama, Barack Hussein Obama. I always felt like that was more significant than him being like black on the outside. And I guess it's just when you see it's how it's always brought up. You'll see like this weekend, you know, on football helmets on the NFL, they'll have the flag on it, and the perspective is obviously from, you know, this one singular, you know, what has it been like since after 2011, but there's always nuance. I think it's always important to think about that, and also to think about, you know, we've just had, you know, a few thousand civilians die that day, but in the war subsequently since, there's been millions of people who have died whose lives count just as much in the Middle East. So, like, all of the wars that have started, I think the civilian count is, like, up to 1.5 million people, which is really sad because those people had nothing to do with September 11th, just like I did. That didn't have anything to do with it either. So, moving on. So, there is I feel like every so often in every area, you know, so it doesn't make it special, but it does make it equally as important that people are always focused on, you know, what types of things that they are doing themselves personally to affect the environment. But you hear about invasive species. So I remember growing up, we had like these snake fish in Maryland that not only lived for a long time, but they also could like live out of water. They could live in water, and then they would just eat all of the fish in whatever body of water that they were, and only snake fish left. And those things are disgusting. One, you can't eat them, and two, they just look gross. And so they would kill everything. This one, Asian giant hornets have been seen for the first time in BC, and they've been known to destroy entire honeybee populations in a very short period of time. And so right now they are like hibernating, but they will be coming out soon. They are about this, they're scarily big. Their wings can be 2.5 centimeters and their bodies are around 3 centimeters. So they're like big, big ass hornets. And so if you see them, you need to kill them. So just in case you can stand up and defend your fellow bee brethren here in BC, if you see these big ass hornets, they don't typically sting humans, but they will kill all the bees. So, you know, if you are a bee lover, you should invest some time into that. Ooh. And so, some of the silliest things that have happened recently here in Vancouver is the New West police officers, they tried to scrub an off-duty assault from a Wikipedia page. And so I find that this is something that I was like looking, I saw the story and then I wanted to read into, see just how many more times this happened in the past. Oftentimes, police, you know, police officers and police jurisdictions are really concerned with controlling the narrative of how their offices perceived and looked at. And so what they do is they try to, I mean, we see this happening and we see this happen in real time all the time, particularly when it comes to police assaults, is they try to change what happened so that it fits a story that, you know, is sympathetic to the police, or so that, you know, it allows for some doubt to creep, you know, and see, show that the police are maybe not totally in the wrong. However, sometimes these things are very blatant and then they go on the Wikipedia page and, you know, they stay on there forever. And so what you see is that there's a lot of jurisdictions who have, I guess, like some technology arm or some data arm, and they go through Wikipedia and they try to scrub like Wikipedia to like clean their records. And Wikipedia said no to the New Westminster police, who tried to scrub an assault by an off-duty cop in its Wikipedia page, and now they're banned. And so there's a few other police jurisdictions who are banned as well, because they can see when the edit started. The edit started around 3 p.m. and then by 4 p.m. And has basically flagged the page for future changes that will need to be accepted by an administrator before they go up. And so I am glad that Wikipedia continues to enforce these types of rules. But also, whenever you sign into Wikipedia and they ask for some money, just give them like a dollar. I feel like there's so many things in, particularly for me, I often feel like, you know, sometimes you feel like you're getting too many things for free. When I say that, I'm like, you know, like the news. You know, sometimes you're just reading on this website and you're like, I'm not even going to allow your website to track my cookies or anything like that, because I don't want your advertisers getting any money. But then you realize that, like, that's how those websites are run. So, you know, you don't even get the news unless there's money for those people. Or maybe if you've learned something from somebody, you should just pay them, because a lot of time goes into it. Or, you know, but anyways, Wikipedia is a service that everybody uses. You should probably just pay $1-$2 so that you can help keep it going, so that they can help continue to do good work, like making sure police officers can't tell lies about themselves when they think nobody's looking. No one who's not telling a lie about themselves is this woman who was ticketed for eating while driving. And so eating while driving is not a crime in BC. However, you need to have one hand free from the wheel. So if you'd like to eat while driving, I suggest maybe a burger or maybe some French fries or chicken nuggets if you can eat it potentially without dipping. Or maybe anything but ramen. So this woman was driving down the highway, and the police officer pulled her over because she didn't have two hands on the wheel, because one hand had chopsticks in it and one hand had a bowl of ramen in it. And so she didn't crash, but she was ticketed and given points. And so it's very interesting, because I guess last year the BC RCMP had a tweet this is in 2017. They had a tweet that said, "You can't eat a bowl of soup while driving. Drive with due care." And then it had, like, you know, what they would fine people for that. And so they took it down because people wanted them to take it down because they thought of how ridiculous it was that they would even think that people would eat ramen and drive at the same time. And they found out that actually that's something that people might do. So good luck out there. If you love ramen, just go sit down and eat it, you know, at a restaurant or at your house. Just please, please don't do it while driving. When we get back, we got so much Vancouver news for you. We're going to get back. We're just going to go quickly through some rest of Vancouver news, and then I have some interesting stories for you from around the globe.
When I popped off, then your girl gave me just a little bit of la chop. Baby so cold, he from the north, he from the Canada. Bankroll so low, I got nothing else that I can withdraw. Ran up the dough, I shot my wrist, it go like sha sha sha, sha sha sha. I got your bitch singing la 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 la, la la la. I shot my wrist, it go like sha sha sha, sha sha sha. I got your bitch singing la 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 la, la la la.
watch dry like that. Amex, no cap, 800 score. They wonder how I go up like that. I rap my lyrics when I perform. They wonder how I watch dry like that. Married to the grand, I brought my ring. I'm Coney, but your goodie want the dick. Modest with my jewels, but check the bank. Finally got the money, say my thanks. When I popped off, then your girl gave me just a little bit of la chop. Baby so cold, he from the north, he from the Canada. Bankroll so low, I got nothing else that I can withdraw. Ran up the dough, I shot my wrist, it go like sha sha sha, sha sha sha. I got your bitch singing la 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 la, la la la. I shot my wrist, it go like sha sha sha, sha sha sha. I got your bitch singing la 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 la, la la la. How I try like that. Uh-huh, I'm at the bank again. They wonder how I go up like that. Pink whip with flames all on the side. They wonder how I try like that. Got that Gucci on my body, now she tryna pipe me, woo. Pop the Lucy, Lucy, Goosey, sussy boy, I keep you cool. Got the paper, went to school, be careful who you call a fool, ay. Ay. When I popped off, then your girl gave me just a little bit of la chop. Baby so cold, he from the north, he from the Canada. Bankroll so low, I got nothing else that I can withdraw. Ran up the dough, I shot my wrist, it go like sha sha sha, sha sha sha. I got your bitch singing la 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 la, la la la. I shot my wrist, it go like sha sha sha, sha sha sha. I got your bitch singing la 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 la, la la la. How I try like that.
They just turned the bass on upstairs.
Money so tall that it look like my daddy. Look him in the face, the resemblance uncanny. We gon' have a potluck coming with my granny. Yeah, she's 100,000 grand and she look cute like my mama, thin like my aunt. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Money's in the bands. Yeah, money in my pockets. Yeah. Money in my pants. Yeah. Mm. Do my little dance. Yeah, money real tall and it look like my daddy. Look him in his face, this resemblance uncanny.
Ryan, I'm recording.
Fuck. Flip it and you count it. Doing what you want with my bump, with my family. I got
real young.
Look him in the face, the resemblance uncanny. We gon' have a potluck coming with my granny.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's 100,000 grand. That head so big that it feel like a planet. Life so crazy that it drive a boy manic. Young boy, feel a lot of panic. Big boy, tryna get a pedic. I know I'm a winner, looking like a champ. Come up in here, try to get a couple pants, yeah. Tryna go a couple yams. Tryna get a little dinner up on the biscuit. In the biscuit. On the biscuit. Yeah, on the biscuit. Money so tall that it look like my daddy. Look him in the face, the resemblance uncanny. We gon' have a potluck coming with my granny.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. She's 100,000 grand. She
looks so fat that they look like my daddy. Cook him in the face, don't resemble son Kenny. Cook it so fat that they look like my daddy. Cook him in the face, don't resemble son Kenny.
Money so tall that it look like my daddy. Hopper. Look him in the face, don't resemble son Kenny. We gon' have a potluck coming with my granny.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. She's 100,000 grand. Fucking.
You're back at Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR. I'm your host, Issa Arian. And so we talk about this a lot here on the show. You know, I don't think to think of it as we talk about, you know, racism. It's like race education, you know. we like to think of it as like, you know, being like a really long time ago, and like we're slowly getting away from it, but it's not that long ago and it's not that far from getting away. So there's a group of students who are trying to help remove a racist covenant from a Vancouver Island home. So in Port Alberni, there was a covenant which was built into the title of the house that said no Asian person could live in the house unless they were servants. And the house is located on Margaret Street in Comox. The original owner was a member of Parliament named Alan Webster Neal, serving in Parliament for 20 years. And while he died a long time ago, his covenant lived within the deed of the house. And so, it's just going to be removed in 2019 if the owners of the home would like it to be removed. And so you think about these things as happening very long ago and how, and just like, what does that look like? You know, what did that look like, you know, in 1960? Well, I think the house was built in 1909, but what did that look like in 1909 or when the man died in 1960 or in 2019? And so you understand that these ideologies still have lots of effect on us today and come back in different ways. And they look like something different, and they look like something benign. And I'm sure when they wrote that in the house, they probably came up with some justification on why it was okay. And so when you hear about things today and laws that pass, there's always some type of justification. So just maybe think twice about maybe if you, if the reasons why you support something maybe are racist. And it's important because we here in Canada have an election coming up. I mean, while I can't vote in the election is very important because I live here. And so if you can vote here in BC, or if you can't vote not only here in BC and whatever province that you're from, you definitely should, because it's important. And it's interesting because if you read about what's going on here in BC, I mean, if you listen to me on the show, we talk about it all the time, but particularly we talked about the pipeline a lot before it was approved. But what we've learned is that there's like almost nearly 40% of the people who own land on the pipeline haven't agreed to allow the pipeline to come through. So, you know, in a world where we are often pitting the economics versus the environment, BC really does have an opportunity to, I don't know, say like, you know, like put its money where its mouth is, you know. What do we really care about, and what are the people? What is going to get the people going? So, a few months ago, you know, they had an idea. Some people, I would say, 10 people on the internet people had an idea of storming Area 51, but it was supposed to be a joke, I think. However, more than a few hundred thousand people, I think it got all the way up to 2 million people, indicated that they'd be going to storm Area 51. And while I was not one of those 2 million people, I really wish that it would have gone through, because I kind of want to know what's going on there. But I'm not willing to die for it, if that makes any sense. Anyways, what turned out from a joke to an actual event, the organizer, Maddie Roberts, has at least tried to transition it into something more real. And like maybe into a place where people can discuss this possibility, not actually go. I think he's scared to die as well. But honestly, I feel like if you are going to start an event like that and you're going to create it, then you should just probably sacrifice yourself, you know, like put your money where your mouth is and actually go do it, Maddie. So if he's listening to the show or somebody knows him and they know that, they know him and they can tell him about it and they can say, hey, Issa from Vancouver on North Beam Path said you're weak for not following through. A police officer in Tokyo, well, the police, not a police officer, the police officers say that a Tokyo cashier used only his memory to steal 1,300 credit card numbers. This person worked at a, where is it, at a 7-Eleven, and they said that the police said that the man's photographic memory abilities were key to him stealing 1,300 credit card numbers and using that to spend what? Sorry. He only spent $2,600 of, like, he only had fraudulent charge for $2,600. He had just, like, written down all of these credit card numbers. It's very interesting. So, like, I always wished I had a photographic memory, but I don't think I would use it like that. I also feel like $2,600 is a little low for someone who's stolen 1,300 credit card numbers. Like, I mean, we just heard earlier this hour about bike thieves who stole 148 bikes, which were on street value of $100,000. Now, imagine if those bike thieves, you know, had photographic memories instead of just the propensity to steal bikes, they'd be a lot richer. Like, I feel like this guy could have been a lot more sinister. It's just very interesting. Like, I'm just curious, like, what would you do if you had a photographic memory? It's an interesting question because I feel like that's like a superpower. You know, I feel like when I hear about people with photographic memories, like real actual photographic memories, not just like I have a really good memory, but like, no, my memory is photographic. I'm always like, you know, what would I do with that? Probably nothing good. But like, I was once told by, and I feel like I'm saying nothing good, but I probably would do good. Like, I feel like a lot of my self-perception has been shaped by, you know, by the adults that you encounter when you're growing up. And so my AP history teacher told me one day that he felt that I was smart, but I had a criminal mind. And I don't think that's something that you ever let go. You know, you just kind of think about it. Like, I wonder why he said that. Anyways, he said I had a criminal mind and he was a real life criminal. So who is really right? Never, no, you never really know. And so you may have seen this, or you may have not seen this. The United States is looking to ban electronic cigarettes and other vaping things as a sixth person dies from a mysterious vaping-related illness. And so it's very interesting. Millions of people have died from cigarette-related illnesses. Lots of people have died from opioid crisis. You know, lots of people have died from overdoses. Lots of people have died from guns. All of these things. Six people die from vaping, and they want to ban it. So maybe if we just put vapes in the guns, maybe they'll ban those too. In a name this state, a teenager is arrested for trying to take out a hit on her own parents. So I'm pretty sure you could probably guess which state this happened, but basically, she offered a friend $400 to kill her parents. And when that friend failed to carry out the hit, She paid a different person $900 to do it. The person opted not to do it as well, and to add insult to injury, that money was paid from her parents' stolen debit card. So she stole money from her parents so that she could take a hit out on them. She's got to be the worst daughter. She's got to be the worst daughter ever, right? However, like, that's where my natural conclusion goes to. But then, you know, I naturally want to take it to the next step. Like, well, I wonder how bad her parents are for her to want to kill them. Like, also for somebody to accept $400 in exchange to killing them. Like, they must be like, you know what? You don't even need a real hit person to kill your parents. But, I mean, they didn't do it. So this family sounds wild. But honestly, what this makes me think of is Googling, when does Ozarks come back out? Because I don't know if you guys watch it, but the Ozarks was a good show. Like, when is it going to come back out? We're waiting for that. Season 3. Let's see. Let's see. We all can find out together, because when I think about kids killing their parents, putting hits out on their parents, it just makes me think of the TV show. And I don't know if you ever watch it, but listen, you do. You have time to catch up, because it won't be out until mid-2020. That's whack. Anyways, that is extra whack. And on that note, I'm out. Actually, I lied. I'm still here. There's one more story, because we got a few more minutes. The clock is moving a little slower than I thought. Listen, this is something that somebody told me a long time ago that I think is important to share. Listen, if you find money that's accidentally deposited in your bank account, don't spend it. So nobody told this couple that, but Robert and Tiffany Williams of Montoursville, Pennsylvania, basically had $120,000 that was accidentally deposited into their account. And then they spent every last dime of it. On May 31st, a BB&T teller mistakenly deposited the money. And so they spent it. The couple withdrew more than $100,000 in cash. They put a $15,000 payment on their 2015 Chevy truck, a camper, and other items. They also gave $20,000 to friends. Now they're in jail. So it doesn't say how long they're going to be in jail, but I mean, it wasn't a good move. Also, it wasn't a good move by that teller to do it, but, you know, they know they didn't have that fucking money. Oh, excuse my language. They know they didn't have that money. And so, listen, you got to be a little more careful. I don't know how you get away with that. But one, because, you know, everything is electronic. So somebody definitely was watching. They didn't know when you took the money out. So don't do it. But now I'm really out. Make good decisions and look up to see, you know, what's going on in the election in your district. We do this every Thursday from 7 to 8. Thanks for tuning in. I'm out.